Interesting. Dr. Thomas Levy, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Levy, is what's the difference? So, but cavitations are different from this abscess you were talking, the asymptomatic, right? That's up at the top, but cavitations are in the jaw. Is that right?
Yeah. Believe it or not, the pathogen profile is very similar, okay? But the important difference is, very important difference, and it doesn't get emphasized much, is the abscess at the tip of the tooth is very much like a cavitation, but it's a cavitation, if you will, that's directly connected to your lymphatic and blood supply. Okay, so when you're on a tooth that's infected, you have an extremely efficient delivery mechanism for those pathogens and toxins. On the other hand, when you have a cavitation at the site of an old extraction, it's got horrible necrotic gangrenous-like content when you examine it pathologically, but it's small and well-contained in the bone, that usually doesn't have a lot of clinical impact. But as the cavitation begins to snake out and consume more normal bone and spread and eventually reach the nerve canal, then you start having a venue, a mechanism by which the cavitation contents can disseminate. And at that point in time, they become highly clinically toxic. So very important with the cavitation has to do with the size, how far it's spread. Many people who are edentulous have had all their teeth taken out and never had the sockets properly cleaned after they were taken out, have what's called channel cavitations, and they have a huge amount of infection. They even had one study, think about this, that showed that edentulous people had higher incidences of significant disease and heart attack than people that had all their teeth. Not necessarily had all their teeth, just were not edentulous. Now think about this. This means, statistically speaking, that even when you're taking out infected teeth, root canals, whatever, and you go to the edentulous state, statistically speaking, you're worse off, especially if they weren't properly cleaned when you had them extracted.
Dr. Levy, so let's say we had the cone beam thing and check everything checks out, no root canals, no actual infections that we can see. How do we determine if we have some gum disease stuff and some pathogens in the mouth that we don't really quite know about? And because we've done a little testing ourselves here that I wanted to ask you about, but I'd like to ask you your opinion first before I even mention that.
Well, for the gums, I mean, let me clarify to everybody listening, I'm not a dentist, I'm a cardiologist and a lawyer, but my studies and my observations are that it's very obvious when you have healthy gums. So, I mean, you can, when there aren't
big pockets.
What the heck do you call them? When the gums are in good shape and you have the nice reverse widow's peak of pink gum inside it, your gums are in good shape. Now, when you start losing that reverse widow's peak of pink gum inside there, the gums start receding, then you have all variety of different problems with the gums. And the gums are, for many people, a huge source of toxins and pathogens.
Yeah.
So the other thing, too, is you say, how do you figure out where you are? Well, again, nothing's 100%. And I'm at this point in time, the study hasn't been done, so I'm giving my best opinion. And I like to differentiate to people that are listening when I'm citing literature or when I'm giving my own best opinion. And my own best opinion is if your CRP is below 1.0 and your fibrinogen is normal and your cone beam examination is normal, then you probably don't have to go on any big search for infected teeth, infected gums, or toxins. Now, on the other hand, let's say you do that study. It looks fine. The gums look fine. But your CRP is 4. You better start looking at the tonsils. And if you can't find another chronic infection in your body, This is a tough recommendation, but I lived it myself. My recommendation is, number one, get a sequence with a good biological dentist, a sequence of direct ozone injections into your tonsils, and then see if you can bring that CRP down.
Wow.
If you bring the CRP down with the ozone injections, they start to resolve their infection, that's good, and you have clear evidence with the CRP that you're doing the right thing. On the other hand, this happened to me. I write about it. If the CRP is elevated, I didn't have the opportunity to do the ozone, but I knew that everything else in my body was in good shape. I had read Dr. Issels' work about the chronic infected tonsils. I had had a root canal in my head for a long time, so I knew that my tonsils were probably in the same bad shape as the patients that Issels described. This was about 6 years ago. Some other big dog started chasing my little dog, so I ran quick, and then, bonk. This is like 63 years old, 62 years old, chest pain.
Really?
Here I am, cardiologist, son of a gun. I'd been coping with the CRP, trying to use every supplement under the sun, all this, and I get it to fluctuate, but it was still staying at 4, 4.5, 5. And I said, you know, I'm not long for this world. And when I got that chest pain, I said, well, it's going to go away, and then I'm going to do something, or I'm going to die. Well, it went away after about 5 minutes, and I immediately got on the phone, called my favorite ENT doctor, only after I reviewed in the literature what the symptoms for tonsillectomy were, because I didn't want to argue with them. I just wanted to give them the straightforward tonsillitis type indications and just say, well, I'm tired of these damn tonsils being infected, take them out. Well, you know, you don't have to put a surgeon into an arm hold to get him to do his surgery. So I just said, I'm tired of this, I need him out, blah, blah, blah. Got him out the next day. My CRP promptly came back into a normal range, and a heart test I had about 7 or 8 months later showed near normal coronary arteries. There was a little spot in the mid left anterior descending that I'm quite certain, can't prove, was 70 or 80% 6 months earlier. But I got rid of that chronic seeding of toxins and pathogens from the tonsils. And in my opinion, I either saved my life or at the very least, I saved myself from a heart attack. I will say, make no doubt about it, for me and probably lots of other people, one of those miserable things you can do as an adult is get a tonsillectomy. Believe me, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And I make no bones about the post-operative course and the time it takes to heal. It's horrible. But there is the possibility it might be the only way, unless you have success with the injected ozone course that I talked about, it might be the only way that you're going to prevent yourself from getting a heart attack.
But aren't the tonsils there for a reason, to deal with something? You take out the tonsils. I mean, don't you still have an issue? Why are the tonsils croaked in the first place?
Well, that's what I mentioned earlier, is the tonsils are designed, in my opinion, they're designed to deal with intermittent, mild, infectious assaults, okay? Now, when you get older and start getting chronically infected teeth, that's one thing, and they're going to trash. But a younger person, let's say, gets that root canal when they're 25 years old, that tonsil, in my opinion, is going to be trashed within a year or so, irretrievably trashed. Now, is everybody going to get a heart attack that has chronically infected tonsils? No. The same thing applies to the tonsils as to the other teeth when I talked about thyroid status. That's really your real ace in the hole, is, for goodness sakes, make sure your thyroid status is completely normal, and that these blood works, the T3 over reverse T3 ratio, is completely normal. And similarly, make sure as a woman, estrogen, as a man, testosterone, that you have those hormones in the mid-range of normal. Not high normal, but mid-range of normal, okay? They talk about all the problems with hormone supplementation replacement. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing worse for longevity and all-cause mortality than deficient estrogen or deficient testosterone.
Yeah.
So all the other stuff, in my opinion, is BS. Even if you're 90 years old and you want to continue to live healthy, if you're still healthy, you want to maintain normal to low normal estrogen and or testosterone levels, depending on whether you're a man or a woman. So the sex hormone plus the thyroid hormone can give you, in my opinion, an enormous amount of protection and contain these focal infections, whether they're in the gums, the teeth, the tonsils, or the sinuses.
Dr. Thomas Levy is with us. Stay right there, sir. We're going to take just a quick little break here, and then we're going to get to maybe some emails if you have a question here. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. We have a pretty cool product that there's something really kind of magical going on with this Pearlseum, and we'd like you to try it if you want. Dr. Rulin Zhu is a biophysicist, a biologist. She's really cool guy, PhD, very smart cookie, and she actually thought about this early on in her life, and thought about this Pearlseum, and she gets these pearls, and then they actually just sort of blow them up and make powders out of them, real pearls out of the ocean. I think they just have the oysters watch sad movies and they cry and they make pearls, but I just made up the sad movie part just for fun. And it's a powder, and it retains your crystalline structure when you get them. And then we're brushing our teeth with it, which is really cool. It's not just calcium, even though it's called Pearlseum, but there's all kinds of different magnesium and other minerals and target proteins in there as well. And I really love brushing the teeth with it. It just makes them kind of pearly, not white, you know, like if you would use hydrogen peroxide, which we don't recommend. But Pearlseum, and it's making them a pearl, and they even seem to be harder and filling in some of the little ridges on the teeth. I don't know that for sure. I don't have a microscope, but there's some pretty magical things going on with this product. It's called Pearlseum, and the link that we have is will take you right to a two-container deal, and you get a lot off, a nice discount on them. So, and then try it, and put one in your bathroom, and maybe one out there with your counter, and you can take it internally as well. Brush your teeth or put it in with a face cream and put it on your face. And people have taken pearl, Chinese medicine, and Ayurvedic medicine for thousands of years for longevity and beauty. So it's a pretty magical substance. It's Pearlseum, and it's right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. There's a lot of things out there that you can do to perhaps protect yourself from the EMFs in your bedroom, and you know, help. And there's nothing, unless you live in a Faraday cage, you know, who wants to do that? You know, who wants to do that? But there's a fellow that called the show the other day and talked about Ken Rolla's Rush Shield that I just wanted to play for you. And if I can hit the right button here, I think I can do it. Let's see.
Hey, I don't always get a chance to call, but I wanted to make a point of it. I to give you a couple of quick testimonials, if you will. I bought one of Ken Rolla's pyramid. What's it called?
Oh, the Rush Shield. The Rush Shield.
Yes, 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 yes. It's wonderful. I don't sleep well, and it has, and both my wife and I have noticed that our sleep is deeper. The dreams are more vivid. And so thank you for that. And he's, you know, going through your site, he offers a nice little discount, so that's very sweet. So thank you for that. Neat little things that after listening to him for a while, and you and him and talking about it and stuff, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to do that. So thanks for that.
I appreciate really cool. You kind of going with our recommendations. You know, there's a lot of things out there that people are selling. And you know what I'm saying? The whole world is out there saying, you know, this is going to cure this and all that. And I'm really gratified when people say, yeah, well, let's try this because, you know, I kind of trust these guys. Why not? So yeah. you could feel it fairly soon after you plugged it in, put it in your room?
Yes, I would say absolutely. Certainly for sleeping. And I've had sleep issues for a long, long time. been heaven. It's been a really, really makes a difference for me. And as I say, sleep issues have always been a thing for me.
If you go on the front page of One Radio Network, you'll see the Breast Shield by Ken Rolla. And that'll take you to a page where you can get the Breast Shield, use promo code ONERADIO. You might also look at the Vitalizer Plus if you're interested in structuring your water, which is pretty cool. Structuring your water, which is very cool. And he also has the Home Shield, which is on a solar energy thing and goes out in the yard and protects the whole house. So it's a really fun, these are fun items at Ken Roland. They're using the whole Tesla stuff, and it's good. And so give it a try. Check it out. And if you'd like to put it in your bedroom, that's the best place for the Breast Shield.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
We're talking with Dr. Thomas Levy. He's an MD, also an attorney, and he's written a whole bunch of books over the years. And he's a cardiologist by trade. So many questions here. Here is one. Here's an email that so Gloria says, if my body temperature is normal, but my numbers are not, should I be concerned about my thyroid?
Absolutely. In my opinion, the numbers need to be normal. No question about it. If your reverse T3 is significantly elevated and your ratio is 15, 14, you definitely have significant increased oxidative stress throughout your body, and you're not converting enough T4 to T3. I mean, there are other things that can impact your temperature. So, I mean, when you have a low temperature and you can bring it up to the normal range over time with thyroid supplementation, that's a good indication that all of the reasons for your temperature derangement, if you will, was due to thyroid. But just having a temperature in the low normal range is not an assurance by itself, in my opinion, of a normal thyroid status.
John wants to know, Dr. Levy, what's the difference between taking just Natrathroid, where it has all of the T1s to do that, and there's also now a product you can get for just T3 to get the numbers right? What would be the difference, he wants to know?
I can't 100% say for sure that for a given patient there would be a difference. I know a lot of docs have the opinion that it's easier and a smoother control of low thyroid function to use the desiccated thyroid, the Natrathroid. But there's still a lot of folks that are treated with different types of, I think it's Cytomel.
Yeah, Cytomel, yeah.
Right, T3 that normalize this blood work, and they do just fine. So I'm not in a position to say that T3 by itself wouldn't be just fine, but I do know that a lot of people, and Dr. Barnes, incidentally, who treated 1,500 patients, used desiccated thyroid with great success. So I haven't seen any studies that show similar success with just T3, but that's not to say they don't exist.
Yeah. So if somebody is working on their thyroid, they have low thyroid, I kind of hear you saying that you'd want to be taking some vitamin C every day. Right? Is that what I hear you say?
Yes, well.
Well, of course, you're kind of a vitamin C guy anyway, right?
How much and how often should you take vitamin C? I say, well, how much and how often should you eat quality food?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're a big vitamin C guy, right? And I know that you work.
Vitamin C, let me say this unequivocally, vitamin C is the most important nutrient in the body, and it's the primary source of electrons to keep your microcurrents normal in your cells and to keep everything humming along. And all the other antioxidants are really just supportive of vitamin C, but when you don't have enough vitamin C, you don't have the center of the wheel. You just have all the radii.
Yeah. So I know you're a big fan of the liposomal, and I think you even worked with that company, didn't you? What's the name of that company?
Live On Labs.
Yeah, Live On Labs.
I've been a consultant to them for about 11 or 12 years since they first started.
If you weren't a consultant with them, would you still say they're your favorite?
I'm glad you asked that question, and the answer is absolutely. I want to talk about a little anecdote when I was back in as a resident or a fellow. I had the chairman of medicine that I was very close friends with. I was a cardiology fellow, and I was putting in pacemakers, and I always used this one pacemaker company. I liked them. I liked the product. And the pacemaker company said, hey, look, you know, we have a conference in Vail. We want to send you skiing, this, out of the other.
Yeah.
And I immediately ran to my mentor, Dr. Ray. I said, Dr. Ray, is it ethical for me to do this and this, out of the other? And Dr. Ray said, well, I wouldn't do it. I said, oh, okay, Dr. Ray, I appreciate that, but is it unethical? He said, no, no, I can't say it's unethical. I said, fine, Dr. Ray, that's all I need to know. And I went skiing. But the point being is, if I had not been offered the trip, or if I didn't go skiing, I was still going to use that product because it worked for me and, in my opinion, was in the best interest of my patients. So the only reason I got on board with LiveOn was because I saw something that was accomplishing what I wanted to accomplish with vitamin C. So it was just a natural marriage, if you will.
What did you see accomplished when you start taking it?
Well, that's that little story is on my website, but to make a long story short,
yeah.
They first contacted me, like I said, I don't know, 11 years ago, something like that, told me all about the product. I'd never heard of a liposome in my life, had no idea what it was, and I just sort of, they said, can we send you some product? I said, yeah, sure, sure, and they sent me a bunch of product, and I just threw it in the corner and went about my business until I started getting a horrible case of the flu several months later, and I had closed my office practice, so I no longer had my IV vitamin C available to me. Mm-hmm. Instead, I was taking so much vitamin C powder that I was just pooping my brains out and not feeling any better at all. And I remembered one thing and one thing only that they had told me. They said, well, with the liposomes, you don't get the bowel effect. It gets absorbed so quickly. I said, well, let's see if that's true. And so I took 5 packets of the Lipo-C, and then revelation time, an hour later, in my opinion, in my own clinical observation, I felt better than if I had taken a 50-gram infusion of vitamin C IV. And I said, how is this possible? And after thinking about it a while, I said, it's not possible. It's all coincidence. And I blew it off. And that scenario had to repeat itself one more time several months down the road and with a couple friends and family. And then I finally said, okay, Dr. Idiot, I think it's time you do a little reading and figure out what the heck a liposome is. And so maybe 6 months after I got the product, I got back with LiveOn and I said, you got something really exciting here. I'm happy to work with you if you want. And that was
your experience with
it. And incidentally, that's where that anecdote right there has just gone all over the web. So anytime you see the statement that liposomes are tenfold more powerful than IV, that 5 grams does what 50 grams does, that all comes from that anecdote. I mean, there's never been a study. I don't know how you could do the study, but there's never been a study on that except to say that I have seen on many occasions a minimal amount of liposomes do a comparable task to a lot of IV. That's not anti-IV. IV is wonderful, and when you're sick, and I tell everybody this, you want to take as many different forms of vitamin C as you can afford and are available to you because they all go to different areas, intracellular, extracellular, different compartments. Some the powder will help sterilize the gut. More of some forms will get into the immune system. So when you're really fighting something, don't limit yourself to one form if you have an option. But for many cases, a good quality liposome product does it. And then let me add, all right, I just admitted to everybody, I'm a consultant to LiveOn. Let me also say I've never seen more fraud in my life than in the liposome supplementation business.
You just don't know.
I mean, we had a bunch of them analyzed, and they had no liposomes. but it takes $7,000 to $8,000 to do the proper test to see if they're liposomes. So these people, I mean other supplement companies, they just throw it out there and say, prove we're liars. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'm not going to say there aren't other quality liposome products there. Let me just say there's none others out there that I have any confidence in.
On the other kinds of C, if you take ascorbic acid or sodium ascorbate, I think sodium ascorbate is the one that Dr. Huggins used to like because it's a little buffered. Can you do fine with those and take plenty of those?
Absolutely.
Every day?
It's all a matter of frequency and all a matter of how much time or how many pauses you want to make throughout the day to do a supplementation. The liposomes are nice because they effectively work as a long-acting preparation. Since most of them make their way inside the cell, not just the extracellular space, they're not circulating in the blood, getting ready to be rapidly excreted like regular vitamin C. So they get inside the cell and they hang around longer. But, you know, if you want to take some vitamin C 4 times a day while you're awake, you can get a good blood level and keep it there pretty well, okay? So let's say you get the flu. A lot of people for the last 60, 70 years, courtesy of Dr. Cathcart and other pioneers, they start getting sick. They start taking 1 or 2 grams of vitamin C or a teaspoon, which is about 4 grams of vitamin C powder every hour or two. And let me tell you, a lot of cases of flu and cold and other viral infections have resolved very quickly doing that. And so I'm not saying by any means the only way to get things done are with liposomes.
Sure.
We've done a lot of stuff with a lot of different forms of vitamin C for many years. The liposomes are a little pricier, but when you have a quality product, you can get a lot of bang for your buck and not have to be occupying yourself with taking it all day long.
With a liposome like the Livon, what would you say is an average kind of a package as you just healthy for in good shape take every day?
1 or 2 grams, 1 or 2 packets. I want people to understand quickly, that's not the same as saying 1 or 2 grams of vitamin C a day. That's truly the equivalent of 10 to 15 grams of regular vitamin C a day.
I see. Yeah.
So in terms of how effectively it gets delivered to where you want, which is inside the cell, without the consumption of energy. Okay, that's the other bugaboo. When you give vitamin C intravenously or orally, you have to consume energy to get it from the extracellular to the intracellular space. Not the case with liposomes.
So back, I kind of glossed over it, but it was pretty fascinating. So if we have moms listening that are in California, they got to get vaccines to go to school and, you know, all that going on, and they you know, or they just kind of want to do it. So you're saying that they could give the little ones vitamin C before, during, and after and minimize the possible effects of the adjuvants and the toxins?
Minimize, in my opinion, eliminate.
Oh,
all right.
Really?
Okay, I don't want to say 100%. You know, maybe out of several thousand kids,
that's pretty strong.
One kid would still get sick, but virtually eliminate. I wrote an article on this. It's on my website under the articles that goes through dose schedules. I don't know if I mentioned it in the article at this time, but the little babies, you can do great things, in my opinion, with the liposome product that I mentioned from Livon.
Yeah.
Because it is probably even easier than the regular form of vitamin C, because regular vitamin C is salty and this, that, or the other. You can take the baby's favorite yogurt and you can put a whole packet, 1 gram, and gently mix it in the yogurt. The baby notices no difference at all by taste. It's very easy to give. And if you can give a small baby 1 packet a day for a week before the vaccination and a packet after the vaccination and a packet a day for the following week, I think you will virtually eliminate any possible negative side effect of the vaccinations while simultaneously increasing the antibody response that you're looking for with a vaccination.
That's a pretty strong statement. Is there science behind that?
I don't know how you would do that study.
Yeah.
I mean, there's science behind it insofar as I know what vitamin C does to toxins. I've seen all the case studies where Dr. Klenner has neutralized snake bite, has neutralized barbiturate poisoning, has neutralized different types of heavy metal poisoning. I think on the scale of poisons, vaccines are pretty low grade compared to these type of things, and vitamin C neutralizes them completely effectively. But like I said, I don't know how you'd construct a study like that when somebody says, is there a double-blind placebo-controlled trial? Of course not.
Yeah, of course not. We interviewed an ophthalmologist in South Africa years ago, Sydney Bush. And he does a lot of work looking at the back of the eye, the retina, and he could tell if there's a little plaque buildup, and he would juice them up with vitamin C over many months, and he'd go back, and he said they were just clear out. So vitamin C evidently gets rid of the junk in the arteries, huh?
If you can get rid of or severely attenuate the daily exposure to new toxins, like the mouth, high levels of antioxidants spearheaded by vitamin C will stop the progression of most diseases, and when they're not too far advanced, it will reverse them. Because what do we say about that? It's all oxidized biomolecules.
It's all oxidized.
If you could get enough vitamin C to reduce those oxidized biomolecules and get the electrons back into them, they start working again.
Oh.
So it's not magic. It's straightforward science. You know, like when you say you're a fan of vitamin C. Well, I guess you could say that, but a lot of people then say, "Oh, you believe in vitamin C." I said, "Well, not really. It's not a religion. I mean, if it's a religion, you believe in it or don't believe in it. I believe in science, and there is probably, believe it or not, even though it's not reported on, more research on vitamin C as a substance than anything else."
Oh. Really? So
in PubMed.
What are other antioxidants that we can look at? I mean, because it seems like this is so important when you explain the whole minus electron thing, and goodness knows we're getting that with all kinds of stuff, right? And we even know that EMFs will screw up the electron, you know, right? So what are some of the other antioxidants we could add along with vitamin C?
Well, you know, this goes into a significant sidebar, and that's my book, Death by Calcium. Increased calcium levels inside the cell is the final common denominator for all chronic degenerative disease. And when you get the calcium levels down and you start increased oxidative stress inside the cells, you get not only all cells improving, you get increased longevity regardless of what the disease process is. So this leads us to what supplements and what agents most positively impact this enormously toxic effect of excess calcium. And number one on the list is magnesium. Magnesium is a natural calcium channel antagonist, brings calcium levels inside the cells down, and as a single agent all by itself decreases all-cause mortality. So if you're taking no magnesium and then you start taking 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day, you will decrease your chances statistically of dying from anything.
That's great. I like that. So how do the calcium gets all mucked up? Is it people taking these hard, weird, kind of inappropriate calcium tablets, or what else would be the reason why calcium is getting in the cells?
No, unfortunately, it's all forms of calcium. When people say, well, is this calcium supplement better than this calcium supplement? I said, as long as they supply calcium, they're bad. Okay? We have a situation in an osteoporotic bone. Yes, there's decreased calcium there because the calcium was effectively oxidized and burned out of the cells, to use a bit of an analogy. But because that calcium was released from the bones, which is a large amount when you have degenerating bone, that which is not excreted deposits in your tissues. And the more it deposits in your tissues, it eventually makes its way to increased amounts inside your cell. And the higher these levels go, the greater your chance of heart disease, the greater your chance of cancer. And we have clear cut back in Sweden about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, some 60,000 women, I think that's the correct number, they did a breakdown on longevity and calcium supplementation. And it was very clear that the more you supplemented calcium and had a high dairy diet, the greater your chance of death in general, all-cause mortality, and specifically heart disease and cancer. I think, and I have the evidence in my book to support it, not just my opinion, but my opinion when you put all the studies together, that above a certain baseline level, which is largely determined by having a normal vitamin D status that allows you to absorb what calcium you need from your diet, that aside from that, extra amounts of calcium is a primary carcinogen, okay? Calcium, copper, and iron are what I call the three toxic nutrients. They're absolutely essential in small amounts for health, and they play a critical role in cell death when you get them above a certain amount. They increase apoptosis, increased malignant degeneration of cells. It all circulates around calcium. This is why magnesium is such a magnificent supplement. Possibly more important than vitamin C if you had to just pick one.
Wow.
Because you can compensate for low levels of vitamin C with other antioxidants. There's really nothing that compensates for having a magnesium deficiency. And you just get all the illness, increased cancers, and everything that comes along with it. But vitamin C, similar to magnesium, as a monosupplement, decreases all-cause mortality. Vitamin D, same thing. And vitamin K, because of its calcium regulatory action. Those four supplements are what I call my big four. Magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin D, and vitamin K. I might have said potassium. Vitamin
no,
K.
K, you did.
Vitamin K are the big four supplements. Each one individually decreases all-cause mortality. Now, I never recommend that those are the only ones you take, but I do recommend strongly that whatever your unique supplementation regimen is, those four be in it.
Cool. Would a vitamin D level blood test be an indication if you've got calcium in your cells that you don't want?
Not the vitamin D level, no. I mean, you have, and really just calcium blood tests are worthless, but you have, while it's not a 100% assurance, it's a very strong assurance. There's no point in time in the course of normal aging that you should start having calcium deposits anywhere, much less inside your blood vessels. So the coronary artery calcium score is the perfect test to determine how wonderful your diet really has been all your years and your supplementation all your years. If you have any calcium deposited at all inside your coronary arteries and you have a calcium score greater than zero, you're not doing everything right, okay? And you should seriously address these issues as they're outlined in my book. Took a while to write it, to put all the information there, but it's there for people that are interested. And the thing about it too, the coronary artery calcium score has long been just considered an index of your increased chance of heart disease. Sort of logical.
Right.
But think about this. It's also an index of your calcium status throughout your body. And guess what? Increased coronary artery calcium scores are directly correlated with not increases in heart attack per se, but increases in all-cause mortality. So it's the index by which you could measure your calcium status clinically and effectively anyway.
You're talking about a CT scan?
It's a CT scan of the coronary arteries.
Right,
it's called coronary CAT scan.
I think they call it CT scan. And so you're okay with the... You know, it's a pretty good hit of radiation. You're willing to go for that just to see what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's especially if you're supplementing well.
Yeah.
I mean, these people that are not thinking they're getting all their nutrition from from food are seriously diluting themselves. The assault of toxins that's been going on has made it virtually impossible for anybody to have a quality enough diet to avoid the benefits of supplementation.
Here's an email from CJ. He is in San Francisco, city by the bay. So I'm really intrigued about doing a blood test just to check myself out, and I've written down CRP and fibrogen levels. What other markers would Dr. Levy recommend that I look at if I'm just going to do one blood test? Good question.
Yeah, okay. The CRP and the fibrinogen. Also, a complete a metabolic blood panel, which is like a CBC and a biochem panel, so you can see your fasting blood sugar, your cholesterol, your lipids. These are all indexes of how efficient your metabolism is and whether toxins are slowing it down. You could get the regular thyroid panel, but basically you're interested in regular T3, not T3 uptake, regular blood levels of T3 over reverse T3. And if you've never done it, you definitely need to check your sex hormone status. A lot of people, especially men, have very low levels of testosterone long before they realize it.
Yeah.
And they've sustained a large amount of damage to their body by not being aware of that sooner and addressing it.
So you're talking about the triiodothionine-free serum. And
right,
reverse,
triiodothionine, whatever. Serum T3, there you go. T3 versus serum reverse T3.
And you've got to put that free as a fraction over the reverse, and you want to try to get around 20 to 1.
Right.
All right, 20 to 1. Do they do testosterone level along with this if CJ wanted to just have him do that while he does the blood, or is that a separate test?
Well, I mean, it depends on where you get your blood work.
More
I mean,
lab,
I'm not... promoting Life Extension Foundation per se. I don't work for them, but Life Extension Foundation, LEF.org. You can order all your own blood work and go to the nearest LabCorp and get it drawn. And they have the male panel, which not only has all the hormones I'm talking about, it has a CRP on it, it has the CBC, the biochem panel. You get the male panel and you add to it the reverse T3 and the thyroid functions. And depending on the time of year, they have a sale where all that blood work comes in at $260, and if you get it off sale, it's about $350, $400. But that would be the whole package, and it pays for it all, and you don't need to go see the doctor to get it ordered.
Yeah. That's a good deal. They're a good organization, right? Life Extension.
I should have qualified it like that. Yeah, I mean,
they've been around for a while.
I deal with LEF a lot, and I think they do a good job, and they have quality supplements.
Sam writes in for Dr. Levy, my mother, 74, has calcification, a buildup of bone spurs on her toes, difficult walking. How does she break that down out of the body? Apple cider vinegar and magnesium, possibly?
Supplementation-wise, the big four I just told you about.
Yeah.
Magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin D, and K. The other just as important thing, and it tends to be very difficult with older people because they don't want to change, is got to give up the dairy.
Yeah.
Got to give up the calcium supplementation. Okay? I mean, people will think about this and they'll say it makes sense, but they won't do it. Okay? I mean, it's incredible how some things get entrenched. And even when you lay out the logic and lay out the studies, they're not willing to change. They just want to say, well, tell me what pill I take to take care of it. Well, it's just not that easy, okay? Things happen because of your lifestyle, your diet, your supplementation, your unique disease situation, your hormone status. So just like we've been talking about for nearly 2 hours, all these things need to come into play. And for goodness sakes, and it's incredible the job that the pharmaceuticals and the supplement companies and the milk industry has done with dairy and calcium. I mean, I think calcium is more supplemented than vitamin C, but they're probably two of the top five supplements on the planet. And obviously, I'm all for vitamin C, but calcium needs to be knocked off the list forever.
Huh. So, I mean, are you thinking like even you don't like even butter?
Oh, I should. That's a good point.
Okay. So you're not a complete
enjoy
dairy.
Yes, butter. That's not the a complete, fatty part. Okay, yeah. Butter is highly nutritious. Different. Does not have that much calcium. So butter, cream, sour cream, all these are excellent. But probably the most practical way to deal with the dairy restriction is, I mean, most people don't sit down and eat a pound of cheese every day.
No.
Now, cheese has a lot of calcium in it, you know, but if you just have an ounce or two for a snack a couple times a week, no big deal. The basic thing to avoid is forever to eliminate milk as a beverage.
I see.
Okay. Yeah. You want to cook with milk, that's fine, this, that, or the other, but give up milk as a beverage.
So that you must cringe if you see those. Do they still do those billboards with got milk and the little cute girls with their little thing on their eye?
don't get me going. Yes.
don't get me going. Okay, we got some other emails here. What else do we need? So this one wants to know about. My husband has a front lower dead tooth that the dentist has glued into place 5 years ago when he had a horrible accident on the farm. Not enough room to do an implant. Is that okay to leave it like it is?
I don't see any way possible it's good to leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
I never like to say yes or no. I never like to give consultative advice, but let's just say the last thing I would want to do to my general health is have a dead tooth in my mouth and leave it there.
Yeah. Is the Meridian Stress Assessment, MSA, also known as electrodermal screening, a valid way to check for cavitations?
No.
You want to do the cone beam, baby, like beam me up, Scotty one, right? That one?
Right. That's right. I'm going to tell a little secret on Dr. Huggins, who was my mentor. We wrote a paper together on cavitations and this, that, or the other. And Hal had his four wisdom teeth taken out, was having troubles. I said, Hal, you know from our paper you got cavitations. Oh, no. I checked this, and I had somebody do an energy testing. Well, I just hounded him. Until we went to his office and had somebody else. And, of course, the drill bit fell into the cavitation hole in 3 out of 4 places. Point being is, things like meridians, there's no question in my mind that we have energy pathways, okay? But when people get wrapped up with the idea of energy pathways and they start avoiding even addressing the final common denominator of what's traveling along that pathway, yes, they have teeth along certain meridians that are going to give you a greater chance of breast cancer, kidney disease, this, that, or the other. But meridians are what I call magnifiers and modulators. They're irrelevant, in my opinion, if your teeth are healthy. But if your teeth aren't healthy, or if you have an infected tooth or a root canal, yes, on a certain meridian, it'll be more likely to have this affliction versus that affliction. But don't think for a second that you're protected from having heart disease because it's not on the heart meridian or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Patrick, would you ask Dr. Levy about the DNA saliva test you did and the significance or the validity of this? Yeah, this is an interesting thing. We had a lady on the show. We know her. She's cool. Her name is Dr. Ellie Phillips. She's a dentist, and she's all into the whole microbiome of the mouth and not trying to go in there and croak things, but necessarily trying to get it happy so everybody lives together kind of normally kind of thing. And she had me do a saliva DNA test, and when I first did it a couple years ago, it showed that I had some pathogens that were pretty... I don't know. Have you ever heard of that or the DNA pathogen thing?
Of the saliva, no. Of the crevicular fluid and other things from draining teeth, that sort of thing, yes. So to be perfectly honest, I'll say I'm not familiar with that testing, and I can't tell you if it's a real positive or a negative to rely on those results. I think everybody has substantial number of pathogens in their mouth. wide variety of different floras, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But most of your problems come when the mechanical structure of the gum or the tooth permits a pathogen to take hold. Now, does that mean that, you know, having good oral hygiene and decreasing your pathogen load with appropriate mouthwashes and this, that, or the other can't keep you in better shape? Of course not. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But the main thing is the integrity of the anatomy. When the integrity of the anatomy starts to break down, it all goes to hell in a handbasket, regardless of what your flora is.
If you don't mind us asking, I'll get personal here. What is your oral regimen? What do you do ongoing to keep everybody happy in there, in your mouth, as far as mouthwashes, toothpaste, whatever you use? What do you do?
But personally,
yeah,
I don't have that many teeth left. I got enough to chew on, but I have a couple permanent bridges, and so I do a good toothbrushing. If I get behind the eight ball, and I'll water pick with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, that helps deal with anything. Because, you know, gum problems come and go. They're just not there or not there. So you can, let's say, go on vacation or something like that and get out of your routine of how you eat and how you supplement. And guess what? A few weeks later, your gums might not be in that great a shape. Get them back in shape really quick with a good water irrigation, water pick, small amount of hydrogen peroxide inside water. Other than that, it's just supplementation. I take variable amounts of vitamin C and all the vitamin B5, magnesium. There's also a new product out there that I'm on board with called Formula 216. That's the website, formula216.com. Believe it or not, and it's a heck of a subject to bring up to you with only 5 minutes left or two or three minutes left.
Well, we don't have to leave exactly then. If you have a few minutes, go ahead.
But it looks like taking the nutrient polyphenol that's in this allows the human body, the liver, to start synthesizing its own vitamin C again.
Polyphenol. That's a polyphenol thing.
Yes, polyphenol. Nutrient polyphenol derived from olives. It gets into the whole subject of epigenetics, the fact that babies and fetuses make their own vitamin C, but then it turns off later on. So it's not a genetic defect. It's an epigenetic defect that blocks transcription. And certain elements of a good diet, this is probably one of the reasons why the Mediterranean diet is so good, in my opinion, is the fact that it just by chance has a lot of the type of polyphenol I'm talking about. And statistically speaking, I bet if you were able to do blood levels of vitamin C on these individuals, you'd find those populations with significantly, percentage-wise, higher vitamin C blood levels than any other diet.
Uh-huh.
So the other thing, too, is we have evidence also, we've been accumulating it, that when you are on this product and you get a significant stress, what's a significant stress? That's a toxin, a viral infection. It's a toxin. In my case, I just deliberately drank a whole bunch of scotch, nothing more toxic than that. And I was able to show that my vitamin C levels, as reflected by urinary excretion, skyrocketed and stayed there for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so nothing could be better than having your body make the amount of vitamin C when you need it. Okay, and that's not to say people shouldn't supplement vitamin C as well, because when you're dealing with an acute viral challenge, you're still capable of getting a virus. Still, feel free to take a large amount more of vitamin C. But when you can get your body, if you're a responder, to just make vitamin C 24/7, as the young people say, I consider it personally to be potentially the greatest clinical advance in the history of modern medicine.
So it's worth looking at, this polyphenol thing, huh?
Yes, sir.
From olives, you say?
From olives.
Well, go figure. See, now you look at the Italians. That's why they live so long.
And there's some articles written on it on the website, formula216.com.
Uh-huh. Leroy says, does Dr. Levy think that we can give our dogs and cats vitamin C extra?
Absolutely. Really? Absolutely. It's the interesting thing about dogs and cats. Yeah. I mean, goats make a huge amount of vitamin C. Mice make a huge amount of vitamin C. Dogs and cats, for some reason, make vitamin C, but only about 10% of what, say, a goat would make. So if everything's going fine, your dog and cat is healthy, but it's very easy for their system to become overwhelmed and for them to become vitamin C deficient as well. So answer is absolutely.
Why not? And boy, we sure know. We've done a lot of shows on it. The whole vaccine with dogs and cats issue, it's almost exactly what goes on in humans.
And believe me, I did this with a little tiny puppy.
Yeah.
You can force feed a packet of the Lipo C with a little bit of milk in a syringe.
Yeah.
In a dog, they take it down, they do great.
Oh, you mean even if his dog's not feeling well or in older years, you can give him vitamin C?
I've done it with a near comatose puppy. I mean, the last thing to go, I'm not a vet, but the last thing to go in a dog is the swallowing reflex. So I had this little puppy just collapse, and I just took a little syringe, 5 cc's, a little bit of milk, a little bit of Lipo C, and pressed it against the side of the mouth, put a little bit in. You could see him swallowing it. And an hour later, he was up and walking around. I couldn't believe it.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. Jesse says, a couple more, then we'll let you go work. Go to work. You going to go to work or play golf today? What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll just Valentine's Day. Just go kidding. To go with my wife to dinner.
Well, good for you. Jesse writes that a lot of us in the health community are hearing about retroviruses. I am hearing a lot about ways to fight them, but nobody's talking about vitamin CIVs, as near as I can tell. I know that the CIVs can fight viruses, but is there a science showing its effect on retroviruses?
Put it this way. There's never been a virus against which vitamin C has been tested in the test tube that it is not completely neutralized. Never a failure. We have evidence to show, published in the literature, but completely ignored, that vitamin C can cure Ebola, it can cure chikungunya, it can cure the horrible Zika virus. It's just not good for the healthcare economy. Okay, vitamin C, properly applied, would devastate the economics of modern medicine. I can't make it any clearer than that.
That's a pretty strong statement. Here's an email. Dr. Sherry Rogers says that she doesn't like the liposomal thing because there's no science showing that these products ever come back out of the cell.
I don't know how she comes to that conclusion, if in fact that's the conclusion she reached. Liposomes are actually an imitation, a good imitation, of the natural way in which cells communicate with different types of what you call them, exosomes, or small liposomes. These are ways while one cell communicates with other cells across the entire expanse of the body. There's a ton of literature showing how liposomes and similar structures deliver their contents inside cells.
Uh-huh. Robert wants to know, how bad is a calcium score of 375?
I would say how bad is not good, okay? There's a lot. Everybody's anatomy is different, okay? Some people can have a lot of calcium but not have, for unclear reasons, a lot of actual narrowings or blockages. Other people with lesser amounts can have more soft plaque blocking. So it's not an absolute science, but I can only say the lower the better.
The lower the better. Do you think too many carbs, if your A1C gets up there, that can form, that would be inflammatory with the insulin circulating around the bodies, things like that? The classic kind of metabolic syndrome, I guess you read about.
Yeah, pretty much so. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So the A1C is a good one to do.
It's basically a good index of the degree to which your oxidative stress is being raised by a compromised carbohydrate metabolism.
And you have a favorite A1C number?
No, I tell you, it's, you know, less than 5, less than 4.5, if I remember the range correctly.
Okay, just want to keep that baby down there, huh? What about right. Your fasting blood sugar? Dr. Huggins used to talk about he really liked to see, you know, in the morning you do the little prick test and 80 or so. Have some theories about that, ideas?
Yeah, I wish it were true for myself. I run about 105 to 110, but I would say your best is between 70 and 85.
Yeah. Dr. H used to say, well, if it's too high, you know, if it's like a 100, you're probably just eating a little bit more fruit than you need to or something like that. Maybe it was.
However, that's another advantage of this Formula 216, if it's doing what we think it is look, they're making the vitamin C from what? From glucose and your glucose stores. This is why animals in the wild aren't injecting insulin. They're using up their excess glucose by making the vitamin C that they need.
Oh, cool. Well, Dr. Levy, you're fun to talk to. I really enjoyed the show. Thanks for spending 2 hours with us. I think we learned a lot. Well, we got
my pleasure,
thyroid,
Patrick.
Tonsils. Pleasure. That old tonsil thing is really, really fast. I guess there's no real... Is there a test one could take to see if these little tonsils are infected, or would it be more symptomatic with sinuses and stuff?
They have some little ultrasound wands that you can lay on the tonsil that might be able to see an abscess or a cystic area or that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
But nothing to just definitively hang your hat on, no.
I see, yeah. Ozone in there, man. Oh, so you, this was
ozone.
When you did
ozone
this,
is magic gas. Ozone yeah. does everything you wanted to do and nothing you don't want it to do.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Dr. Nunley has his own machine. He plays with that a lot. I was wondering, so I guess the ozone thing wasn't in your consciousness before when you got yours taken out, huh?
No.
You didn't know
it wasn't
about
even
it.
Even on the horizon.
You didn't know about it. All right, sir. You take care of yourself, and we appreciate you being here. Let us know if we can help with anything.
Okay, thanks for having me on, Patrick. Good
talking
to you
fun.
And everybody else.
Thank
Bye.
You. Dr. Thomas Levy, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, Peak Energy, what's the exact, I had it here and now I lost it. Here it is. PeakEnergy.com, and he's got a bunch of articles on there, and you can get all his books on there, his latest one, and I have it, and I haven't read it now after talking. I'm going to read this guy, Hidden Epidemics. Hidden Epidemics, Dr. Thomas Levy. Also, a little plug here. Dr. Levy, the vitamin D K2 thing was one of his faves he liked. And Daniel Vitalis has a really beautiful one, Sir Thrival. And you should read the ingredients on this guy. And it's called a vitamin D3 plus K2 Daylight. And it's really a nice product, very clean. If I can get the product details... I can give you the ingredients, which I think you'll be impressed here. Let me see. Let me click. it's got 4,800 D3 per serving, 63 micrograms of K2, non-GMO. Natural ingredients. I know natural. What's the ingredients things? What are they made out of? I had it here. Oh, here it is. Vitamin D3 K2 Daylight Concentrate is sourced from lanolin and natto, suspended in olive oil, infused with a proprietary blend of aloe vera leaf, goji fruit, and shilajit, pleasantly flavored with natural peppermint. Wow. Now that's the kind of D3 and K2 you want, right? So it's called D3 K2 Daylight Concentrate. It's any Sir Thrival link. And if you go there today, he's got a big sale on the... being Valentine's Day, Daniel Vitalis, just today only, Valentine's Day, where you get the, if you buy the Taboo, which is a kind of a sexy kind of aphrodisiac thing for you and your significant other, and then you can get the 4 Ps and keep your T levels up, testosterone levels, like Dr. Levy recommends too. We like using the elk velvet antler and the pine pollen to do that guy, and that's on half price on PP, 4 Ps if you get the Taboo Sir Thrival links. All right, kids, I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. Thanks for your support of our products. We think we got some of the best ones ever. We should probably figure out a way how to sell some of this live-on liposomal vitamin C. I think we used to when we were friends with Amazon, but Amazon doesn't love us anymore, so we can't do it. But that's a long story. I'll see you tomorrow with Open Phone Friday. We have lots to talk about, and may the blessings be.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.